Good evening. Very thankful to be here tonight. The song has always been very special to me, and it was mentioned this morning about sometimes we can sing a song, and even sometimes, in my experience, we can even pray. We can even go along with our relationship with the Lord and realize that we're kind of on autopilot and taking for granted how great God is. That verse talks about Jesus on the cross, shedding his blood for me, gladly bearing my sin, so that I can live with him. How great thou art. And we can sing that song. It's a beautiful melody. It's a beautiful song. And very easy to take for granted the privilege, the blessing that we have to know the creator of the universe. Another verse in that song talks about seeing the rolling hills, seeing the brooks and the streams and hearing the birds singing. And I personally know the creator of all that. I know the artist who created this masterpiece that we get to live in. And that is such a privilege. I've written on the board, those of you who are doing recording stuff, I apologize for the very long title, so we can work with that later. But I wrote on the board, very much land, you can help take it. The phrase very much land comes from Joshua 13 in the first verse. We won't turn there, but I'll read it. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And I'd like to kind of come at it with from the viewpoint of not necessarily, I don't want to ignore the fact that each one of us personally has land to possess still. I mean, I know I do. There's still land that I need to possess. There's still things for me to conquer, things for me to possess in the future. But that's not my burden tonight. I feel like the Lord has been very clear with me that just like for Ezekiel, he told Ezekiel, you know, your burden isn't for someone with a strange tongue. It's your own people. I need you to talk to your people. And so my burden tonight is an encouragement to us that we have a privilege to help one another, take the land that we're all striving for. So we all have needs. Each one of us has land that needs to be taken. Like I said, I know each one of us personally, I have land that needs to be taken, but I want to focus more on how can we help each other. What does the scripture say about this? The context of that scripture that was read in Joshua 13, if you go read chapters prior to that, Joshua had been very busy. There's a few chapters where it just says they went here and they conquered, they marched on to this king and they conquered, they marched on to this king and they conquered, and it was Joshua leading the people. And so at this point, Joshua was very old, and the Lord even reminded him, said, you're old, you're stricken in years, there's still a lot of land to be conquered. And then he goes on to explain all the land that there is, but the land wasn't for Joshua to conquer anymore. It was for the people that was coming behind him. And God was kind of preparing that, saying, hey, there's a lot of land, and this is all that's left to conquer. But it wasn't for Joshua anymore. He had done what he could, and it was left for the people that was coming behind him. So, I look at it as there's been people ahead of me that have conquered lots of land, and they've conquered and helped bring others to Christ, but then they left. It was time for them to go. It was time God called them, and they left it with me. They left it with each one of us, that there's much land, very much land, to be taken, and we can help. So the scriptures are very clear in multiple places of how we are supposed to help each other into heaven. One of the ones that's very been a challenge to me, it's in Galatians. We'll turn there. We have a few scriptures to read real quick. Galatians 5, we'll go to Galatians 5 first, and then we'll go to the next chapter. Galatians 5:13 says, let's see, I think I got that right. Yes, 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now this was talking about all the issues between the Jews and the Gentiles at the time, but the scripture here, for brethren, you've been called into liberty. You've been called. Living for Christ isn't bondage, as you know. The Jewish Christians were wanting to impose Moses' law on everybody. They're wanting to say, "Well, we did it. So you got to do it," and that's not the message that Jesus had brought. And so he said, "Look, you use the liberty that you have, but don't use it as a club for people around you. But instead, use love." Help bring others to Christ. And then going on a little farther, let's go to Galatians 6:1. And this is the one that is a very challenging scripture to me. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, shun him and send him out the door and shame him for all that he did and let him know how bad he messed up. And is that kind of how we sometimes as humans think? Brother, follow him. And our natural tendency is, well, they fell, and I don't know, what is wrong with that person? Why? I can't believe they fell. I can't believe they did that thing. That's not what I read here. It says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Am I any better than you? Am I any better than the one? Except for Christ, except for the grace of God, I could have stumbled the same. And so human nature is to write that off. Say, well, that was a big mess. That was a big mess up. And then we want to disassociate with this person and say, well, I don't want anything. I understand there's egregious things that we can experience, but there's a love of Christ that we're supposed to show. When someone stumbles, we should go up to them and say, hey, brother, let me help you. Do you need a friend? We can recognize those things, and maybe you don't even have to directly address the issue, but we can choose to be a friend. We can choose to be a smiling face. We can choose to be someone who loves them, even whenever no one else seems to love them. We can choose to be the one who goes up to them and puts an arm on the shoulder and says, hey, glad to see you. It's good to see you again. It's good to have you here. Is that so hard to do? Sometimes I'm going to tell you, sometimes for my human nature, it does seem hard for me to do at times. And I have to have God help me to have the meekness and the humbleness to go to someone that I know maybe I don't disagree with they've done, or maybe I don't agree with the choices they're making. Does that mean I can't be a friend? Does that mean I can't go to them and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that I get to do something. Invite me to go to lunch with you. Go do something together. It's been a challenge to me to think of that as there's people who are hurting. And then you can hear sometimes the stories of people who are hurting and realize that all they wanted was someone to notice them. Someone to hear that they were hurt. And maybe it wasn't reasonable. Maybe it wasn't a reasonable thing that hurt them. But to them it was. To that person, it was very reasonable. And have you ever been unreasonable before? Have you ever done something or got offended by something that when you look back, you think about, I was very immature. I was very unreasonable with that situation. There's, earlier this year, we went to a little conference for homeschool stuff. And one of the things they talked about was how to deal with children. And these people actually, the gentleman that was talking actually had several boys, and I think some of them were teenagers at the time of this incident. And he was talking about how, you know, as parents, you can see the child come storming through the door, storming through the house, and slamming the door. And your reaction can say, now hold up there, young man. We don't slam doors in this house, and furthermore, and then you can just line them out. And the thought that they brought up is that child wasn't slamming the door to be mean. that child, and look, I know there's some lots of different opinions on how to handle these things, but the way that everybody has, that child wasn't necessarily slamming the door to be mean or to try to break the door off the hinges, but instead and the child may not even recognize this, there's an unspoken thing of, I want you to know I'm upset. I want you to know that I'm sad. I want you to know that I'm angry. And sometimes all I want is someone to come in there and say, hey, look, what you just did is a little out of place. What's going on? How can I help you? Is that so hard for us to do for each other? And I'm not throwing stones at anyone or anyone in here. This is, for me, I want us to be encouraged that we can help. We can help each other whenever there's land to be conquered. Maybe I'm struggling with something. Maybe you are. Can we go put our arm around someone figuratively, send them a note, give them send them a text or a phone call and say, you know, I noticed that you're hurting. I want to be your friend. I hope this is something that the Lord has been putting so strongly on my heart that I can be. I think there's a song that talks about being Christ's hand extended or something like that. But being that one to break the barrier of someone trying to put up walls and maybe put my hand there and say, whoa, let's not build this. You don't have to put this barrier between all of us. We love you. I love you. There's another scripture that I'd like to catch. It's in 1 Peter. There's a saying that no man is an island to himself. It's easy sometimes to excuse me, I have my voice. It's easy sometimes to gain knowledge or understanding about something and without realizing it, withhold that knowledge and that understanding from people who would greatly benefit from it. Businesses in the world are very aware of this. It's a millions of dollars, I don't know the numbers, but millions of dollars are spent on training, on advancing knowledge, passing the information on to the next generation. That is something that's done. It's a high value placed on that in the industry. In fact, later in November, I'll be going out to a conference to help pass on information and knowledge to other people. Businesses value that, and the fact that I work in an engineering firm, and we get young engineers straight out of school, and some of them may be still in school, and usually they're assigned a mentor. And the task for the engineer that received the new hire as a mentee, I guess you'd say, is to help guide them, and not necessarily to make all the decisions for them, but to give them a project and to step back and watch and then help them make the right choices and to pass on the information, because there's a lot of stuff that you don't learn in college. A lot of the practical skills and things that isn't taught, and you have to learn that on the job. Sometimes, without realizing it, you withhold information that you don't even realize that you have that this person desperately needs. There was something that happened. We just got back from a big vacation, and when I left, I had to give some instructions to one of the young engineers. And I gave him quite a bit of information. I gave him all the information I felt like I needed to give him. And when I got back, there was some of the things that he had done on the list of things that he had done. He had a note saying, hey, I found this and I didn't know what to do with it because it was done incorrectly and I'm not sure why it was done incorrectly, so I didn't change it because he assumed that I had purposely left it in there that way. Well, what had happened is someone else had done it and they had made a mistake. And I knew that some of those mistakes existed, but I knew they were there, and I knew that they needed to be fixed. And in my mind, it was obvious when I saw the mistake that it was obvious that it was a mistake that needed to be fixed. Well, it wasn't to him. It wasn't obvious that that was a mistake. It wasn't obvious that I wanted it fixed. And it wasn't that I was intending to hold information back. But this scripture deals with this because spiritually, I feel like we can do the same thing. We can neglect, and I'm going to call it a privilege, we can neglect the privilege that we have to share Christ, share our knowledge, share our experience with others. It's 1 Peter 4:10. It says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold graces of God." Don't hold it to yourself. Don't fill it up, and hold it to yourself, and then never give it out. We're supposed to be like a cup that's running over and spilling out to everyone else. In fact, it talks about the river of water that's supposed to come bubbling out of us. We're supposed to be a source of life and sharing things with each other. Not to bottle it up and say, "I've got all this information for myself." And that's also a tactic that some people use in business, is they hoard information because they want to be irreplaceable. They want to be someone that can't be gotten rid of. Well, newsflash is everybody in the business world is replaceable. From what I've noticed in the business world, people come and go, and you hardly even notice a lot of the time. And people want so bad to hoard knowledge at times and say, I know all these things, and they'll have. There's been times that people have so many things in their desk drawer or in their office when it should be on the shared, on the we deal with on a shared server where we have all the drawings and documents are all out there for all of us to access because they may be on vacation and something needs to be accessed. That's not how we're supposed to be with the information and the knowledge that we gain from studying and developing a relationship with the Lord. When I have information, when I have something to offer, I should be excited to offer it to someone who's in need. To not be one to bottle it up and hoard my knowledge, because it's, number one, it's God given. It was the knowledge He gave me in the first place for me to share and help others to Christ. One of the great benefits of in the scriptures of people helping one another whenever they have already, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word, arrived at a place of land ownership. Let's just put it that way. Not that they didn't have any more growth to do. I'm thinking of the Israelites, when the ones who already had their land on the other side of Jordan, when it was come time to cross over Jordan, go in to Canaan land, those people, those men who had land on the other side, they went across just as if it was their land that was being conquered too. They went across and said, "Let's go get them." And they went and helped all those other tribes conquer the land that wasn't even theirs. It wasn't even land that they were going to live on. They already had their land. In fact, the scripture says that they left the women, their wives, and their children behind, went across the Jordan River with the rest of the tribes, with the rest of the men, and conquered land that wasn't even going to be theirs. They had the privilege of, there was very much land out in front of them, and they had the privilege of helping and seeing those mighty works being done. Because if they would have stayed home, they wouldn't have seen Jericho fall. They wouldn't have seen them go march one after another. Seeing the I can't remember who it was that was, they chased them off. I think it was the five kings that were attacking Gibeon, I think it was. And when they started chasing them off, hailstones from heaven killed more of them than the Israelites killed. You know, if they would have stayed over here, they wouldn't have seen the glory of God, what God could do. I think of the scriptures that we read on Wednesday night about those that go down in the deep water and go out on ships. Those are the ones who see the glory of God. They're the ones, they were willing to say, "Okay, I see that there's land that needs to be taken. It's God's land. He gave it to us. Let's go get it. Even though I don't have to leave my land behind, I've got this here, but I'm going to go help these people. I'm going to help fight for these people." We have a job to do. We have a responsibility for each other at this point. Number one, we got to get ourselves to heaven. Number two, we need to work and help our families get to heaven. But we also are supposed to work with each other in our congregation, in our workplace, in school, wherever we're at. There's people in need and hurting. There's people right here in this congregation that are hurting. There's people in this congregation that need help, that need understanding, may need some guidance, and you may have the information that they need. Pray about it. Ask the Lord for Lord, put it on my heart. If there's someone that needs the information that I have, the understanding that I have, Lord, would you put them on my heart? Do we recognize that privilege that we have? Do we recognize that responsibility that we have to say, you know, Lord, I take it for granted. I know I do. But Lord, I thank you for what you've given to me. I thank you for the understanding you've given. And the prayer we can pray is, Lord, if there's someone that could benefit from what you've done for me, would you lay that person on my heart? Help me to know who to send a letter to. Help me to know who to call on the phone. Help me to know who to go shake their hand and give them a smile. Help us to know that when we're walking through the store and we see someone off, that they might just need a smile. Help us to know that. And the Lord will be faithful to us if we truly pray those prayers and are honest about it and recognize that we have a privilege and a duty to help one another make it to heaven. In Titus, we're not going to read the whole scripture there, but it's Titus 2, 3 through 7, I believe it is. It's talking about the older teaching the younger, the older women, the older men teaching the younger. But I see that as age. The older, the hoary heads, I don't think it's mentioned there, the hoary heads, but it's, I think it means literally age. But I also look at it as spiritual age as well. Because later in that chapter, and then also in 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy and Titus both, don't let anyone despise you. And he specifically tells Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. His physical youth, but his spiritual maturity was way up there. Timothy was very mature spiritually, and he was able to teach. I mean, we have record of the benefit that he was to the ministry, to the Christian church. So yes, he was a young man. He was able to make a huge difference. And Paul told us, don't let anybody despise your youth. Just because you're young physically doesn't mean that you don't have something to offer. You have these things to offer. So if you have an understanding, be willing to offer it to someone. And I know we have to use wisdom and don't let zeal get ahead of our understanding and let zeal get ahead of the will of the Lord. That's not at all what I'm talking about. We have to spend time with the Lord and asking Him, Lord, will you please guide and direct? Help me understand. Help me to value the knowledge that you've given me. Help me to value the simple fact that I have a direct contact with the one who created me, who offered His Son as a sacrifice for me, the one who created this beautiful canvas that we get to live in of variety. We just took a big trip and we got to see so much variety in God's creation. And I so appreciate that. And then what boggles my mind is that I have the privilege to know Him personally. And that I can go to my bedroom, I can go to my office, I can go right here in this church, I can come right here and I can talk to Him personally, face to face. The one who created all this, the one who knows everything about me and you and is able to direct my steps and direct where I go, who's able to direct what I say to you, and able to direct to me and you who to go talk to and who to help. Because there's people who need it. There's young, I'm just going to say there's young marrieds that need help. There's young men that need help. There's young people that need help. There's people who are facing things they don't know how to get through. There's things that's happening in this world right now that's scary, that's confusing. And there's people who are starting off, like I said, a young married and maybe have young children, or people who are entering a different stage of life, or maybe are entering into knowing that they have a terminal illness, or maybe entering into, you name it. There's so many different things, and there's people that have gone ahead. And you may be young, you may be old, you may be somewhere in the middle. But if you have, let's keep our eyes open for that. There's people everywhere that need help. And it's not just out in the world. There's land to be conquered right here. There's land to be conquered in your own home. There's land to be conquered pretty much everywhere we go. But let's not get blind to, like the saying is, that can't see the forest for all the trees, that there's needs right in front of us. And that we're able to have the privilege to help. And we can one day get to heaven and have the privilege of knowing that I help this person. I see this person, and maybe there, I don't know how it's going to be, but there may be people in heaven that when they walk in and say, that's the man that smiled at me at Walmart and made me realize that I didn't have to go and do what I was fixing to do that night. That told me that when I saw that man smile at me that I mattered and I could go dump those pills out and throw them away. That, y'all, that happens. There's stories of people who turn their life around because someone did something simple and let them know that they mattered, that they care, that they're not just a nobody in the universe. There's people, and I've, like I said, I don't know how it's going to be when we get to heaven, but it might be that way. I don't know. And we'll probably never know all the people that we impact. Yes. But we have that privilege. I know I keep saying that we have the privilege because we know the Creator. And I have taken it for granted so many times, just like what I think of Gideon. He was, when God called Gideon, I guess it was the Midianites. They were oppressed by the Midianites, and the Israelites had called out to God. But what had happened was, I think Deborah was right before that. And Deborah's song is the chapter right previous to Gideon being called out. I think the very end of that chapter says that there was 40 years of peace in Israel after Deborah. Well, it seems like, reading between the lines, that people got a little complacent. It was peaceful. There was no issues. And there was 40 years of peace, and they took things for granted. I can tell you, I've been guilty of taking it for granted that I have access to the key. I have access to the knowledge and the deep well of I don't even know what I lose words when I start trying to express the deep things that God has available to us that I have access to. And I'll say, like Gideon, you know, when God called Gideon, he was threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding from the Midianites. And God called him and he said, I think it's in Judges. I'm going to get this right, what he called him when he came to meet him. I think it's Judges 6. Yes, 6 and 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, if you go on and read a little bit farther, Gideon didn't see a mighty man of valor. He saw the poorest man of a poor family. He said, my family is nobody, and of my family, I'm the least of them. We're a poor family. We have nothing. And of my family, I'm the worst one. I'm the worst one of my bunch. And a man of valor? But that's not what God saw. God didn't see a poor man who couldn't do anything. He saw the character that Gideon had. And how many times do we say that to God? I know Jeremiah had a similar thing. Was, you know, I can't, no, Lord, I'm too young, I can't do this, or I'm not able to do this. But that's not what God sees. God sees, hey, don't worry about that. I've got you. We're gonna win this. But he said, get up. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It's not that Gideon was anything special on his own, but God saw the character in Gideon's heart. I want to be willing that when the Lord comes to me and says, all right, Jared, the Lord's with you, that not that we get puffed up and we say, oh, okay, yeah, I am a man of valor, actually, and Lord, thank you for noticing that. Let's get to work. Let's go ahead and go take care of those Midianites. That's not the attitude we should have, obviously. But we don't want to go the other way and say, no, Lord, you made a mistake. Nope, I'm not doing it. I will not do it because I'm not able. Lord, help us that we don't do that. That we are humble about it, but that we accept the call and are willing. Not that it's not scary sometimes, but Gideon was able to do mighty things with the Lord's help. And that's what the Lord said. He said, the Lord's with you. I've got you. You mighty man of valor. Because God saw the character in his heart. Now, about to wrap it up, but I'd like to read another scripture. This has been a stumbling block for me. I want us to be encouraged. It doesn't have to be. Proverbs 26 and 13. There's one thing that I don't want to be is a slothful Christian. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron a little bit, but we can do that. The scripture is Proverbs 26 and 13. Sorry, I'm in chapter 13 now. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. The tendency for us is when the Lord does give us, maybe place someone on our heart, our tendency is, ooh, where, them? No, I can't. There's a lion in the street. I can't do that. No, Lord, I'm not able to do that. I can't go talk to that person. They're older than me, or I don't know them that well. Let's not do that. When the Lord puts something on our heart, when the Lord places a task on our heart, it's okay to say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I need you to help me. It's okay to have that conversation with the Lord, but let's be careful that we don't go to the Lord and say, no, not that. There's a lion in the street. I'm going to go. The next verse says, as a door turneth on the hinge, so a slothful man turneth in his bed. I'm going to just roll over and plug my ears and pretend like you didn't say anything because there's a lion out there and I don't want to go face that. I don't want to go deal with that. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm afraid that, you know, that they may ask questions. That's sometimes whenever when we give an engineer a mentor, or when we give someone who would be underneath them, it's not necessarily so much for the person who's being mentored that needs the benefit. Sometimes we've given an engineer a mentor because they need to learn how to lead. They need to learn that they know some things and that they need to know how to pass those things on. And it's just as much of a learning curve for them to teach someone else as it is for the person to learn. I think God does that for us too sometimes, because he sees that, you know, don't wait until you have all the qualifications and you think that you've got it all figured out, you've got all the everything understood, and that, oh, I can't go talk to anybody until I understand everything there is to understand, because we're afraid of a question. I've had that attitude. It's because I don't know all the answers, and if anybody in here does, I sure would like to spend a few hours with you and learn all the answers, because we're not going to have all the answers. And there may be questions, and you know what? I've gotten questions when I talk to people at work and things that I'll just have to tell them, like, I don't know. I'm going to have to get back with you on that. I'm going to pray about that one. Because sometimes we do get questions that you probably ought to think about a little bit before you just start spewing out answers, because we want the Lord to be with us. And to be... to say, Lord, I'm not going to go do these things. I'm not going to speak to this person because I'm afraid that they're going to ask a question. Let's be careful about that. And like I said, don't let our zeal get past the call of the Lord. But let's be ready and willing to accept the privilege that we have to go help others take some land. I want to share a couple of little stories and then a saying, a little quote before I go. Someone very close to me, they were raised in a home that did not put church as a priority. And the only way they knew anything about God and Jesus and plan of salvation is because relatives and people in the congregation took them in and helped them as a young child, even going so far as to invite them to their house for an evening family worship. They were willing to take this person in, share family worship with them as a young child, and built a foundation with this child. And I will say that many souls have been changed because those people were willing to stop by and pick them up for Sunday school. We're willing to call them up and say, hey, you can come over for family worship if you want. And they taught and laid the groundwork, the foundation for just simple things. Just as simple as telling them that there is such a thing as salvation, and that Jesus exists, and that heaven exists, and that there is such thing as getting saved from your sins. Something as simple as that is the foundation that was laid, and many souls have been changed because of those people who were willing to help conquer some land. And at that time, it was real simple land to conquer. It took time, and it took effort, and it took being willing to accept a young child in your home that you didn't have to do it. But I'm sure thankful that they did, because it made a difference. It made a difference not only in that person's life, but all the people that they touched, that we may never know who all was touched because of that. I want to read a quote, and I'll sit down. This is in one of my study Bibles. It has this little quote in here. I don't even know who to attribute it to. Most of us want to know God's plan for our lives, and we focus on how we can discover it. One common misunderstanding is the idea that God's guidance has nothing to do with what we're doing now. But if we're always looking toward whatever grand assignment God might have in store for us in the future, we can run the risk of overlooking or even ruining whatever we're working on right now. The Bible demonstrates that God's guidance can come in the midst of and in response to one's present situation. Y'all pray for me, because I don't want my plans and my grand ideas to get in the way of what God has for me to do right here. And what tomorrow and the next day. We, as humans, like I said, we can have such a forward-looking plan of the grand things that God has for me to do, and overlook the very thing that He wanted me to work on right now, and the people that desperately need my help, and the understanding and knowledge that I have been given. Lord, help me not to hold that back, and to accept the privilege of land that can be conquered. Y'all pray for me.